As you know, Mother's Day, and what I'd like to do today, with your help, especially with the help of the mothers in the congregation, is I want to use the illustration of how becoming a new mother can radically change you, and to use that to help us understand the change that can happen whenever we become a Christian. So once again, I want you to think about how becoming a new mother can radically change you, and then make that connection with how we can be radically changed whenever, when Christ comes into our lives. You know, even though I'm not a mother, I'm a father and a grandfather, and I'm around mothers and grandmothers, and I can see, you know, our daughter just had her first baby. I can see evidence of this change that happens when we watch a woman become a new mother. Some have said everything changes, and wow, that's definitely true. But for new mothers, some of the greatest change are also the most intimate ones. And it was interesting for me to read a little bit, do a little bit of research for this message, and find out that God has literally hardwired mothers to be able to provide that special caring, nurturing that that happens when a woman becomes a new mother. It actually said that after centuries of observing behavioral changes in new mothers, scientists are now and very recently beginning to definitively link the way a new mother acts with what literally happens in her brain, in her mind, in her soul, if you will, right? Because you understand when I'm talking about soul, you know, God made us spirit, soul, and body. And our soul is our mind, our will, our emotions, all wrapped up. That's the soul that the Scripture teaches us. So it is there in the soul that even scientists now, with all the new technology, can see changes that happen there as they study, especially the effects of having a baby, a new baby, on a mom. It says that there is a flood of hormones that literally increase certain activities in regions of the brain, the regions that control empathy and love, that help indeed cause that new mother just to attach to that baby and the baby, the mother. The maternal feelings that come with being a new mother, the overwhelming love and the fierce protectiveness, right? Fierce protectiveness, right? It actually begins with these reactions that happened in the brain, the mind, the soul. And it was saying that healthy mothers, and I want you to hear that word because I'm going to be using it in regard to our Christian life too. Healthy mothers, you know, that that have the opportunity because of better environment, you know, and better health physically. Healthy mothers begin to constantly just think about their baby. And there's something called maternal motivation. Maternal motivation, which is an enormous desire to take care of that baby. In a healthy mother's brain, the activity in the amygdala, that almond-shaped part of the brain where there's a big cluster of neurons, the amygdala, in a healthy mother's brain, the activity there grows in the weeks and the months after giving birth. Now listen, this growth, this increase of activity, researchers have proven is correlated with, you know, how that new mother behaves. that enhanced amygdala makes her hypersensitive to a baby's needs. And then that cocktail of emotions, or hormones rather, they find more receptors, you know what I mean by receptors, in that larger amygdala, and it literally just feeds that positive feedback loop to motivate mothering behaviors. It's awesome the way God created you. It really is awesome, you know. I was reading that a mother, just by staring at her baby, the reward centers, you know, and all that dopamine and all that good stuff that gets released, the reward centers in a mother's brain lights up. Scientists have seen this with, you know, with those brain imaging. That maternal brain circuitry, it is what influences that syrupy way a mother speaks to her baby. You know what I mean? Can you picture, you know what I'm saying? Syrupy way that a mother speaks to her baby. How attentive that mother is, the affection she feels. Scientists recorded this bolder brain response in the amygdala, in the thalamus, and other parts of the brain as mothers looked at photos of their own babies. It's interesting because they showed mother pictures of others' babies, mothers of others' babies, and then their own. Big difference in response in the brain. It's really cool. I just was really interested in this. I hope I'm not boring you, but this was just fascinating to me. You know, there's all these, like I said, hormones that flow into the brain, and there is a God-given higher concentration of receptors that receive those hormones, like oxytocin. That begin to surge even during pregnancy and then continue after childbirth, that the more a healthy mother is involved in childcare, the greater increase of that oxytocin, that hormone, that does great things. It increases as they look at their babies or hear their babies start to coo and they snuggle with their babies, you know. And it's interesting, you know, if that same circuitry, scientists have shown, is what make babies smell so good to their mothers. I know about the poopy, don't get me wrong, but you know what I mean. I mean, it's just that, you know, smelling your baby, right? And it's interesting that the greatest brain change occurs with the mother's first child. Though it's not clear whether a mother's brain ever goes back to what it was like before childhood, the neurologists have said. And yet, brain changes in our soul, they're not limited to new moms, are they? No, indeed. It said that, listen to this, this was written not by a Christian. It said that the blueprint for mothering behavior exists in that woman's brain even before she has children. The blueprint. It said, perhaps motherhood is like a secret space. I didn't write this. This was wrote by a scientist. Perhaps then motherhood is really like a secret space in a woman's brain waiting to be discovered. Isn't that cool? The act of having and caring for one's baby, forges those neural pathways that are like undiscovered rooms in that mother's brain that brings about such positive, powerful change. Well, the blueprint for you, men and women, the blueprint for all of us being connected with God exists in our souls even before we become a Christian. I want you to make the connections now, right? I want you to see the connection. You know, as we are saved, as we are forgiven by our faith in Christ and our asking, desiring for that relationship with God, as the Holy Spirit then enters, right? What He can do in us, the Holy Spirit, is likened to the flood of hormones and what they can do in the soul of a healthy mom. For when the Holy Spirit comes into us, He too begins a process of change, a positive change that happens after our salvation. Just like the brain of a healthy mother has a higher concentration of those receptors for those hormones, we need a heightened sensitivity to the Holy Spirit who now lives in us and desires to flood over us with His thoughts, His inspirations, and His power that help us positively change. Just like the more a healthy mother is involved in caring for her child, the more those good hormones are released. So the more that you and I get active in the care and nurturing of the indwelling Holy Spirit, the more He releases His truth, His power in us to positively change us and make us the people we were meant to be, even wired to be by God. You see, when God did make us spirit, soul, and body, there in the garden, the first man and woman had that ability to literally connect with God. That connection, by the way, with God happens inside. God is spirit, right? We said last week, that's why Jesus said, and true worshipers of God must worship in spirit and in truth. God is spirit, and the way He made human beings, you and I, He made us to be connected with Him through the Holy Spirit inside us, in our soul and spirit. That's the way He meant us to relate to Him, have communion with Him, if you will. But you see, just like as now we enter the growing season here in Pennsylvania and we see vines begin to start to grow in gardens soon, you know, and we understand that that life flows through that vine, that if you cut that vine, the fruit that's trying to grow at the end of it will shrivel up and die eventually. You know that. So what happened in the garden, my friends, when sin entered, that pipeline, that vine, that lifeline, if you will, between us humans and God was cut, severed. When God said, "You will surely die," He wasn't just making it up. It not only, of course, brought about the eventual physical death of our great-great-great-great-great-grandfather and grandmother, but it also brought spiritual death, which is the disconnect with the Spirit of God. But I have great news for you. God indeed made a way for us to reconnect. God made a way for us to reconnect with Him. When Jesus literally washes us, you know, the songs we sang today about the blood of Jesus Christ, you know, just cleansing us, washing us. Well, that's true. I wish to God you could see inside of you, that you would see that power of cleansing in your spirit that happens when you believe in Jesus. It would do you such a world of good to be able to see inside. By the way, this is why God told us to be baptized after we place our faith in Christ and receive that cleansing that happens from faith being put in the one who paid it all. That's why He told us to be baptized, because then our human minds can get that concept of what happened inside as we outside can see us going down in the water and being raised again, cleansed. It's not literally the waters in baptism that takes away your sins. You know that. But yet God commands it because our brains need it to understand what happened inside that we can't see. And so we baptize to help us understand the cleansing that happened inside. Now I'm going to pause for a moment just to interject a little humor. True humor. That's the best kind, right? Real life humor is the best kind. So we typically have been doing baptisms associated with our annual church picnic. And when we used to go to Shawnee, we would do them at the beach there. Anybody here get baptized at the beach in Shawnee? Alyssa, Dee, anybody else? When we were at, yeah, Christy? Yeah, when we were at the annual picnics there. We did it at Friendship Village one time in the pool. And one time we joined with Spring Meadow Church of God when they were doing like a community-wide baptism. We went to their church because they have a baptismal. Well, my buddy Denny Dibert, he came to Wednesday night Bible study one week and said, "Do you know anybody that wants a baptismal? There was an old church that took one out." "Yeah," I said. "I've always wanted a baptismal in my church, you know, to be there whenever we right there." "Yeah, I'll take it," sight unseen. I don't know if you noticed a couple of 3 weeks ago that he brought it. I gulped when I saw it. It was a lot bigger than what I had anticipated. He and Dan brought it on dollies, and I was hoping, you know, when I heard about this, that we would drop it right down in the stage and have it flush with the stage. You know, we could put a covering over it so that the stage would still be flat until you want to use it, take off the cover, walk down in the baptismal. That's how I've seen it done, like that's what Spring Meadows has. Well, the thing would have stood that high up off the stage. And anyway, so he brought it. They couldn't even get it around the corner in the back because it was too long to make the turn. So they put it in the back of the sanctuary one time, and then we had Dottie's funeral, Dottie Christman. And so we didn't want it in here because we put stuff back there. So they took the baptismal and just put it out on underneath our canopy there over on this side. Do you remember the week before last, when the windstorm came, when that really crazy wind? Well, my level is like a wind tunnel anyway. So during the windstorm, Tyler gets this message on instant messenger, you know, Facebook Messenger, and says, "Hey, your baptismal's flying around the parking lot." "What?" "Yeah, and it just ran into a vehicle." "Oh," you know, so I thought to myself, okay, you know, I'm going to explain this one to the insurance company, you know. "What happened?" "Well, I'm calling to report an incident. Our baptism and flew off the porch and hit a vehicle." "What?" Can you imagine just trying to explain that to the insurance company? Well, the nice gentleman who owned the big white bus that was parked over here, I talked to, and apparently he's not too concerned about it. He hasn't said anything since then. But I said all that to say this, you know, it was kind of like a crazy experience, and it all stemmed from me wanting that baptism. Well, the leaders in our church are gracious, you know. My leaders, you know, they said, "Pastor John, if you wanted a baptismal, we could probably get one that's smaller than that would work, you know." And I just never voiced that interest, but I am now, by the way, you know. I said, because that one doesn't look like it's going to work for us. But the thing is, though, is I would love to do what I would call, you know, baptisms on demand. What a phrase. But you know what I mean. I mean, when people come to know the Lord, why not? Why not seal the deal? Because it does help seal the deal in your mind of what happens inside. But the fact of the matter is, what then happens inside of us is not automatic. Now let me explain what I mean. Remember, I want you to keep thinking about that change that happens when a woman gets pregnant and gives birth to a child, and how God designed that woman, you know, to receive these wonderful, miraculous, physiological things that happen that result in that mothering instinct that God put inside to just foster and grow, and so that family, you know, can be led by that kind of love that a mother has for their child, which is a transforming love. You know it is. It can be in a healthy mothering relationship, right? It can be very much. It should be. It's God intended to be, even though, unfortunately, circumstances sometimes get in the way. But I want you to keep thinking about that as I continue to really help us understand then the way God designed us to be connected to Him and the good things that He wants to happen after our salvation. Because you know that what we call salvation, right, we typically are speaking of the instantaneous forgiveness that comes when we believe in Christ, put our faith in Him and ask Him to forgive us. That is instantaneous. Your spirit is cleansed. Your sins are washed away. But that, my friends, is the beginning of the process, not the end. Do you remember how I told you one time, I actually did this at Shawnee when I was baptizing a large group of folks from our church one year. I was talking about this process, that this is the beginning of a new life, the beginning. And I said, if any of you don't understand that and you think this is all there is, you know, your ticket to heaven, that's all there is, just let me know. When I baptize you, I'll hold you under a whole lot longer. Go to Jesus. No, I'm just teasing. But I did say that. You remember that. But the thing is, it's the beginning of a process. And here's what that process involves. And here's the key connection to what happens in a healthy mother. When the Holy Spirit comes into your spirit is cleansed, but your soul is not instantaneously changed. Your soul is what again? This is your part. That's right. Your mind, your will, your emotions, that's the soul that the scriptures speak of. You know, and I know, that that is not instantaneously made new, right? That's why, you know, the scriptures say, very clearly say, now that you've been saved, I want you to be transformed by the renewing of your mind, right? Romans 12 and 2. Don't be conformed to the image of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve what is God's will, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. You know why it says then? Because until then, you're not in tune with the flow of the Holy Spirit just because He's inside of you. You're not used to it, first of all. You're not used to being led and guided and directed in every way by the Spirit of God instantaneously just because the Spirit of God is inside of you. You're not used to it yet. You need to understand this. It's new. You don't know what thoughts are flowing from the Holy Spirit or what thoughts are flowing from your own self or even from the enemy, for that matter. Right? Are you following me? You have to actually learn how to get in tune, if you want to put it that way, with the Holy Spirit. You got to start to expect that you're going to be led, guided, inspired, directed by Him. It's not automatic. And indeed, what He wants to do in your soul is not a once and done kind of thing. You know, once and done. It is a continual process of change. Change. Now let me make a statement. Christians today, you, we need to demonstrate the power of God working in our life as evidenced by a changed life. Becoming more and more like Jesus. Change. The old way of thinking, the world's way of thinking, secular, without God, certainly without Christ. You could say Antichrist, because that's the world's thinking, secular thinking, right? You know, 1 John, which was written almost 2,000 years ago, give or take maybe 50 years. 1 John said the Antichrist spirit was already in the world. So that's almost 2,000 years ago. You know what? Still is the Antichrist spirit. Do we recognize it? You know, a while ago it's said that we have entered the information age, right? The information age. Now, the illustration that I saw was that, you know, prior to this information age, you know, there was a little picture of a tiny little garden hose with a little trickle coming out of it, you know, and this was the old process of getting information. And then in the information age, the picture was a big 4-inch fire hose hooked up to a fire hydrant that was open wide, and the water was gushing out. And the comparison, the contrast said, that's the way that information comes now in the lives of our generation, in the lives of people living right now, let's say. So with so much information, how do we know what's true? So much information. Well, hang on, I'm going to connect this back now. Well, culture is what is dictating what is true or not today. What that means is when enough people, they pick up on an idea and they repeat it, it becomes truth to them, cultural truth. But what if that truth is different and sometimes opposite to what God's Word said is truth? What happens then? We were talking in Bible study just briefly about why we can trust this book, you know. Do you realize that God superintended over the creation of this? Beyond a doubt. And the sermon today is not on that, so I'm not going to... You want to talk to me about that sometimes. It's a great discussion of why we can trust this book, right? But without it, you know, a source, a definitive source of what's right and wrong, what do we have? What do you have when now you have the Holy Spirit who wants to inspire you, lead you, and guide you by the truth? How do you know what's coming from Him as opposed to all the other onslaught of information that your brain is trying to process? God's truth comes in you and at you for this purpose: to change you positively, make you healthy, make you have the life that God always intended for human beings to have, to make you more like Jesus. That's the purpose of His truth, of His inspiration, of His leading, and of His guidance. And here's the thing. A Christian who has not changed in whatever time it has been since they first received Christ to now, there's something wrong. There's something wrong. It's not healthy. It's not right. It's not the way it's supposed to be. But it is the reason there's so much confusion in the world today about what Christianity really is. Because the world is seeing Christians that haven't been transformed by the power of the Holy Spirit renewing their mind. Why? Why? Number one, we haven't always been taught, have we? We haven't always been taught that God desires to make that positive change happen in us, but we have to be willing participants. We have to cooperate with the Holy Spirit. God is such, and you know this to be true, that God does not want to do this by force or even coercement in us. We have to be willing participants. Yes, it's His power at work, the power of God's Spirit within us. But we can resist it. We can. And when we are so unhealthy, we're like a mother that has been involved in so many bad things prior to becoming a mother. You know, whether it's been her childhood or just her environment or getting caught up in addictions that just robbed her of health mentally, physically, spiritually. And then it's preventing her from being able to be a healthy mom to her child. It happens, doesn't it? It happens all the time. Today, it's not the way it's supposed to be. It's not the way God designed. When we become a Christian, a lot of us bring a lot of junk with us. And God is perfectly capable of meeting us right where we're at. But we have to be willing participants. We have to want it. And to want it, you have to have a vision of how good life can be. When you are connected to the Holy Spirit and flowing in the Spirit, every good passage of Scripture that you hear read about the fruit of the Spirit and walking in the Spirit and the freedom that we have in the Spirit and those that are led by the Spirit are the sons of God, it comes, it's true, but it happens in you only when you're willing and wanting, when you're expecting, when you're desiring. But how can you desire something you haven't pictured? I love it that we have good examples of good moms that we can look at and we can say, now that's the way it's supposed to be. That's the way it's supposed to be. We need the same in the Christian life. We need to see those that are walking in the Spirit. We need to see those that are changing. And the evidence of that change is so clear. They're becoming more patient, more loving, more kind, more compassionate, more people-oriented. Because maybe not their old nature, but it's the new nature that God is birthing in them, right? Come on. And we need those examples. We can see it and we can say, oh, yeah, that's what I want. That's what I want. I want to be filled with God's Spirit. I want to have Him in me and His power working in me to change me so positively that I can live that life, that abundant life that the Scriptures paint. Is a wonderful picture of walking with God. No, as I said, not the easiest life, but the best life. You know, as we conclude this series on So Much Better Your Way, the fact that the Christian life is the best way to live ever, I got to tell you that the next series is about now how to be in tune with the Holy Spirit that now is in you to make this Christ life really grow and become vibrant in you, the Christ life. the life that is true freedom, the life that involves, though, definitive change. Definitive changes, positive changes in your soul. There's an old hymn. Have you ever heard it? It is well with my soul. It is well with my soul. Typically, the connection of that hymn is with the wellness that comes when we're forgiven. But that's not the end of the wellness, is it? The wellness of soul that Christ seeks for us is a soul that is receiving the open pipeline of leading, guiding, inspiration, and power of the indwelling Holy Spirit. He's in you now. When you receive Christ, He comes. Now here's a question to help you do that checkup. Would you say this morning that you are more led by the Holy Spirit or led by your flesh? Are you more led by the Holy Spirit or are you more influenced by the information that's coming from our culture? What do you truly believe right now, being honest with yourself, is influencing you the most? And if it's not the Holy Spirit, then the first step is to say, it should be. And it can be. This is where we're going, okay? You want to come with me as we talk about how to let that life-giving flow bring such positive change into us? But it starts, my friends, with your willingness, your wantingness. And I believe this morning God can just stir that desire. You can say to the Lord honestly, I know I haven't changed enough. I know there's still a lot of junk in my trunk. But I want to change, Lord. I want to be more like You. I want to be more free. I want to be more kind and loving. I want to be more like that mother that is so selfless, that mother sacrifices so that that child can prosper. That's being like Christ. And that's what God wants for all of us. Amen. So to our mothers today, thank you for being such a good example. Thank you for demonstrating Christ-likeness in your life. Thank you for loving us unconditionally. Thank you for the sacrifices that you've made because of that love. And Lord, inspire us to be more like that, more like You. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for Your plan for us from the very beginning to be connected to You. Thank You for Jesus that makes possible that connection again. Thank You for the Holy Spirit that comes when we're cleansed and now is in us, desiring to work in us and through us. Lord, make us aware. Make us desire more of that, Lord, more of the positive change that You want to bring in us. Let us cooperate with Your Spirit, Lord, as You bring us into that place, that higher ground, that closer walk with You, that becoming like Jesus. We pray in His name. Amen. God bless you. And for our mothers today, we got a couple of things out here for you. Make sure you grab one, and even one for maybe your mother if she's not here. God bless you. Happy Mother's Day.